You're listening to Beltway Beef, official commentary from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association's Washington, D.C. office.
Well, hello, and welcome back to another episode of NCBA's Beltway Beef podcast. I'm Hunter Ehrman, and today we're joined by NCBA Chief Counsel Mary Thomas Hart for an update on the Securities and Exchange Commission's latest greenhouse gas rule. Mary Thomas, thank you so much for being here today. Mary Thomas, tell us a little bit more about the SEC rule that just came out today.
So earlier today, the Securities and Exchange Commission finalized a rule that would require greenhouse gas emissions reporting for publicly traded companies. One huge shift from the proposed rule to the final rule is that this rule no longer requires Scope 3 or supply chain emissions. When this rule was proposed back in 2022, the SEC originally attempted to create a supply chain emissions reporting requirement, which means that farmers and ranchers across the country would have had to submit their greenhouse gas emissions, eventually providing those reports to the federal government.
So Mary Thomas, walk us through what Scope 3 means and how that works under the SEC initial proposed rule.
Sure thing. So Scope 3 is a fancy term for supply chain, right? So when we're talking about greenhouse gas emissions reporting, there are generally three scopes. Scope 1, which is direct emissions from a company or an entity. Scope 2 emissions, which are emissions from energy and electricity generation for that entity, and then Scope 3 emissions, so input and supply chain emissions. So the best way to think about it and apply it to the beef cattle industry is that, you know, none of our producer members are publicly traded companies, right? So they wouldn't be directly subject to these reporting requirements, but they are providing beef that is eventually processed or sold by a publicly traded entity. And so the emissions from that beef production would be part of those supply chain or Scope 3 emissions reporting requirements. Fortunately, those companies will no longer be required to submit that information.
Could you speak to NCBA's initial concerns when the proposed rule first came out and how the rule that was released today is different from what we initially saw?
Great question. So for years, NCBA and other agricultural groups have, you know, worked with agencies across the administration to ensure that cattle producers and other agricultural producers aren't subject to greenhouse gas emissions reporting requirements. Whether through the EPA, whether on Capitol Hill, we've worked on this issue for a long time. And so it was quite surprising when we got a proposed rulemaking from the Securities and Exchange Commission asking for greenhouse gas emissions reports from farmers and ranchers. Of course, farmers and ranchers are not traditionally subject to SEC regulations. Again, none of us are publicly traded, so we've never really considered what's happening at the SEC before, but this kind of, you know, made us newly aware to what was going on at this agency. So there was a lot of alarm, but we pretty quickly engaged both, you know, at the national level with a group of other national agricultural trade associations and through the grassroots to show policymakers both on Capitol Hill and at the SEC the potential risk and unnecessary burden that a reporting requirement would create.
Well, initially we talked about how the SEC is a Wall Street regulator. They've never really been involved in agriculture before. Can you speak to some of the motivations behind why this rule happened and the response that NCBA led?
Absolutely. So for years, I think there's been an increased interest among publicly traded company shareholders to gain access to supply chain information, whether that be, input information generally, labor information, emissions information, what have you, and the greenhouse gas reporting rule, which is the latest attempt by shareholders to get more and more information out of publicly traded companies. So unfortunately, we were just kind of some potential collateral damage of that desire. But I think, you know, pretty quickly, the SEC and shareholders realized that they kind of woke a sleeping beast, right, when they potentially subjected the agricultural industry to this kind of reporting requirement. We had members across the country, I think over 700 members that submitted letters to the SEC and members of Congress noting their concerns. We worked with a pretty broad coalition to develop technical comments and ask, if not for an agricultural carve-out, for a complete elimination of the Scope 3 reporting requirement, and we were successful in that request.
And I think that was actually 7,000 members. So really speaks to the concern in the countryside.
I missed it by about, 90%. So sorry. Yeah, thanks. 7,000 producers across the country, which, is a huge number. That's about a quarter of NCBA's membership engaging, which I think that's probably higher than any individual response we've ever seen. And I think that just shows you how scary it is for a producer who's never been subject to any federal regulatory requirement to have to all of a sudden be at risk of needing to submit these really technical and in-the-weeds emissions reports, either up their supply chain or to the federal government.
Mary Thomas, if you would, walk us through the arguments that NCBA made against the rule in our comment period.
Sure. So, I think the primary argument is something that we've already discussed, which is just the unnecessary burden and risk that's created for farmers and ranchers across the country when they're subject to these greenhouse gas reporting requirements. You know, I think that there's a lot of interest in industry-wide data, right? Like kind of a snapshot of how's the cattle industry doing? How have we improved over time? And that data is currently available through the EPA's existing greenhouse gas emissions inventory. And that inventory kind of gives us an annual snapshot of greenhouse gas emissions from the cattle industry and other segments of the agricultural industry. It shows us that beef cattle are really only responsible for about 2% of the United States' overall greenhouse gas emissions. It also shows us that since 1960, we've reduced our emissions per pound of beef by about 40%. So that report, I think, does a really good job kind of showing us how we're improving as an industry. And when you get down to getting reports from individual producers, the science just isn't there, right? We don't have an accurate way to calculate individual farm level greenhouse gas emissions. So you would be subjecting an individual agricultural producers to a reporting requirement that they wouldn't be able to comply with. And then when they're not able to comply with that, I think, we ran the risk of being subject to shareholder derivative lawsuits from these publicly traded companies, which creates an immense legal risk for farmers and ranchers across the country. So those were our primary arguments that were made to the SEC, and I think, well received by the SEC and certainly noted in the final rule today.
So now that we have a final rule out there, what does that mean for us? Where do we stand?
It means we get one more day to kind of breathe easy and I guess just kind of wait for the next thing. I think that there's going to be continued interest from corporate shareholders in getting increased supply chain information. Like I said, if it's not greenhouse gas emissions data, it may be another data set related to, supply chain and inputs. So we'll continue to engage with the SEC. Now that we've established a relationship at the SEC, we can build on that relationship and make sure that they understand the kind of unique concerns of cattle producers and agricultural producers across the country. We'll also continue to be mindful on Capitol Hill and EPA and other regulatory agencies of other attempts to subject farmers and ranchers to greenhouse gas emissions reporting.
So you mentioned the interest from corporate shareholders, and a lot of that is about sustainability in the cattle industry. What's your message about the cattle industry's sustainability and conservation?
When it comes to cattle production, the United States does it better than anyone. When we're looking at emissions per pound of beef, the United States emissions intensity per pound of beef is lower than any beef producing nation in the world. And like I said earlier, we've reduced our emissions per unit of beef by about 40% since 1960, which is not an accident, right? That's largely due to our genetic improvements, our improved grazing management, and increased access to technology at the feed yard. So all of those together really mean that I think, we can maximize our production value, and that also makes us more environmentally sustainable. Access to really important voluntary conservation programs through the Farm Bill help us to achieve that goal and ensure that we have access to really valuable resources for all segments of the beef cattle supply chain in the United States.
So NCBA did a lot of work pushing back against this rule, and most of our members may not have ever seen that happening because it was here in Washington. If you could give us a recap of everything NCBA did to try to counter this rule, educate policymakers, show us a picture of what it is that we did here at NCBA.
Of course. I think our engagement was threefold, right? So first, we participated in the regulatory rulemaking process by submitting comments to the SEC and further engaging with the SEC to talk about the unique concerns of cattle producers across the country. We also engaged on Capitol Hill to ensure that both Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate understood the potential risk created by this rule, even though, you know, I think it sounds really good if you're not in the middle of the reporting requirement, right? If you're just on the outside looking in, you think that there may be a lot of value in getting supply chain data without fully understanding the risks. So we did, you know, a lot of education on Capitol Hill with members of Congress to make sure that they understood the new burdens that would be created by a rule like this. And then I would say, you know, our third level engagement was really with our members out in the grassroots, you know, making sure that members were aware of the potential reporting requirement, the burden that would then create, and then allowing them the opportunity to engage directly with policymakers through our letter campaign.
That grassroots involvement is so important. Speak to how grassroots involvement really helped us encountering this issue.
It's so important. You know, anytime we engage with Capitol Hill, you know, lobbyists can really only do so much, right? It takes constituent voices to move members of Congress to action. And I think that our letter campaign related to the SEC emissions reporting requirement is an excellent example of that. You know, we were able to drive members to send letters to members of Congress, and then that resulted in multiple hearings with the chairman of the SEC, multiple, you know, bills being introduced in both the House and Senate. A lot of conversation on Capitol Hill surrounding, you know, how to kind of curb the impacts of this rulemaking. And I think that those concerns are in large part what led the SEC to scaling its final rule back and making it a much more narrow final rule.
Well, Mary Thomas, thank you so much for giving us an update today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of Beltway Beef. Don't forget to check us out online at policy.ncba.org or catch the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, including SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts.